It is good to see you back here. Some who have been traveling and been away. We anticipated that some would continue to be away. We knew that some had announced that they would be away for this Lord's Day. And we know also that others aren't here because of obligations that came upon them. And they're addressing those, and hopefully will be back with us very soon. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. This is our text this morning. We know that in the past few days, we have been filling up. If you'll notice, I've not been able today to button my jacket. Now, I attribute that to two different things. Number one, the jacket has always been a little tight around the middle. Number two, I have made it even tighter in the last few days. We have participated in the Thanksgiving holiday. We have been filling our bodies with food. Some of us have been filling our time with naps. And it is important that we continue to fill ourselves properly. Therefore, we want to talk this morning about filling the heart. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45, we read, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." Jesus took the time in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 45, which we will not read in its entirety, but he took that time to address the spiritual condition of some first century Jews, or actually those who were in Jesus' day. Those who were those who Jesus had spoken to, telling them about the kingdom. John had also spoken to them, warning them that the kingdom was coming, that they needed to repent. But in our text, Jesus used the example of a man vexed with an unclean spirit to describe the need to fill the heart of man. Now we know, and we've studied and we've talked about and discussed, that the heart of man is the mind. A lot of times when people say, "I feel it in my heart," they will lay their hand upon their chest. Well, that is a heart. That is the blood pump that is within us, and it is impossible to get along without it. But we want it only to be filled with blood. The heart that the Bible talks about, when it talks about filling the heart, is filling the mind. And it is important. And as Jesus explained, when it is empty, then it will be filled with something. The man must indeed have the evil removed, but we must replace any evil in our lives with good. This sermon this morning only has 2 points. It does not mean that it will be a short sermon. It simply means that there are things to discuss about each point that will help us to better see the need and the purpose and the right way to fill the heart. The points are, there is a great danger when our hearts are empty. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Idleness is the devil's workshop"? If you ever had an evil thought, and don't say you never have, but if you ever have an evil thought, the best thing to do is get up and involve yourself in something wholesome. What's going to happen to the evil thought? It's going to go away. It's going to dissipate. And you may approach it from the standpoint, "Well, I'm doing this and everything." And then you think, "Well, wow, I forgot about that. And what a wonderful thing that is." The second point is, how do we fill the heart with good? The heart is going to be filled with something. We live in a life full of influence. We live in a life full of those who will influence us. We live in a life in which there are many things which could infiltrate our heart, our minds, and if we allow them to remain there, then we're going to be influenced by what we allow to remain. So let's deal with these two points. There's great danger when our hearts are empty. Know that the heart can harbor both good and bad. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35 tells us this. Just prior to our text, the Lord taught this under the Old Testament law. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart, in other words, the things that is in his mind, bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. The things which we allow to remain in our minds, remain the influence within our lives, will determine, will be easily seen as to what we think. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, Jesus was very specific as to the origin of the evil that results in despicable actions, and he named a few. If you'll turn over there with me, we'll see this. He says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. Now, there have been those that have said, well, anytime you have an evil thought, that means you have sinned. No, if you have an evil thought, you are on the precipice of sin. You are at the point where you have to make a decision. Do I harbor this thought? Do I keep it in my mind? Do I allow myself to continue to be influenced by this thought and participate in the actions which come as a result? Jesus said, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders. Nobody's ever killed anybody with their mind, but they thought about it before they did sometimes. Adulteries. You can have evil thoughts. Doesn't mean that we should have evil thoughts. But if we allow evil thoughts lead us down a lustful pathway, we might very well participate in adulteries or fornications. We might indeed, when we look upon something and say, well, I'd really love to have that. And look, nobody's looking. What happens if we foster that thought? Thefts, false witness, blasphemies. He named a few. And so we've got to be very careful. The origin of the evil thought is within. James teaches on this, tells us that that's where it begins. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We see the progression, and we talked about that before. But like a home, the heart can be cleansed. I know that some of you just love to clean house. I've actually heard people say, I enjoy cleaning. I can't say that. I don't enjoy things being dirty, so therefore I clean. But a home, just like the heart, can be cleansed. But to cleanse properly, the proper cleansing agent has to be used. You can mop a floor with plain water all day long. You're going to get up some of the dirt. You're going to get up some of the things that you've tracked in inadvertently. But if you clean it properly and you mop it properly, one of the things that aggravates me to no end is you mop a floor, and before it's even dry, somebody walks across it. Now, it doesn't happen in my house because there's only two that live there, and my wife is very kind. And I do help her out. I do mop occasionally when she reminds me. Okay, but let's get back to this. The same thing is true when it's regarding a soul. The right cleansing agent has to be used to cleanse a soul. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, these Israelite Christians were reminded of their cleansing and how that was accomplished. There are many people today that claim that their soul has been cleansed, but they've not applied the proper cleansing agent. That's important. You can put people in water all day long. Unless they have been taught properly, they're not going to be baptized properly. If they are not baptized properly, they're not contacting the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ is that cleansing agent, as we can see. As the penman was directed to write, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And so our heart needs to be cleansed. It needs to get rid of the evil that has been baked in, so to speak, or has been tracked in and then tamped down. You know, it's a lot easier once you clean a floor to keep it clean. Once you clean maybe the shower or something, it's easier to keep it clean once it is clean. But it's got to be cleansed first. The same thing is with the heart. Also in Acts chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, we see there that the Jews and the Gentiles have the same law to follow, and that law, the law of Christ, requires the hearts to be filled with the same thing, the Word of God. We cannot exclude the Word of God from our lives and expect our hearts to be filled properly. When read and studied, faith is produced. And when the word is followed, souls are saved. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And before anybody jumps to conclusions and says, well, they had the Holy Ghost. Friends, we have that which the Holy Ghost brought us, the Word of God, the same thing. When they received the Holy Ghost, they received the Word of God. Yes, there were special gifts. There were spiritual gifts in the absence of the written Word. But we have the Spirit today. And if we fill our minds with the Spirit, they will not be empty. I'm told that nature abhors a vacuum. What does that mean? That means when something is empty, at every opportunity it's going to be filled with something. Unfilled spaces are unnatural. A hole in the ground. You say, well, that's a natural thing. It's going to fill. It's going to either be filled with dirt over a period of time, maybe a long time. But it will fill with water if there's a hole there. If the heart is not filled with goodness, then evil will likely return, as we saw in our text. Remember, when Jesus mentioned this, he said, you know, this evil spirit was sent out. The mind was empty. If he came back and he found it empty, swept and garnished. And what did he do? He brought with him seven more. It's a terrible, terrible thing to be filled improperly. If the heart is not filled with goodness, evil will enter in. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 20 and 22, we'll see the condition with an individual such as this will be worse than it was in the beginning. This is a Christian, as Peter was directed to write to those strangers that were scattered abroad. We see that the condition of one who has escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they become again entangled in the world and the things of the world and overcome. It tells us there, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And verse 21, it begins to be a little more graphic. For it had been better for them not to have been known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And if you want a graphic passage, look at verses 22 and 23. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Cleansing something and then throwing it into the mud, or the animal returning to its own vomit, is despicable. Consider the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, prior to their conversion, as was written of them, and such were some of you. Such what? Such were the hearts that were filled with evil. But when filled properly, when properly cleansed, and then properly filled with the Word, we see the difference. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The blood of Christ had cleansed those souls, and there was a vacuum ready to be filled. Their hearts. It was to be filled with the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 and 21, the Spirit had Paul write, being concerned that they might have allowed other things to enter into their hearts. As he wrote to them, he expressed those concerns. In writing, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would. How would Paul rather find them? Their hearts cleansed and then filled with the word of God, continuing faithfully in reading and studying and learning and living the word of God. And that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, one having to admonish them. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Their minds need to be properly filled with the word of God. Indeed, if a mind is filled with the word of God, there's no room for the evil. Also, another problem that could exist, our hearts can become hardened if we don't fill them properly. You ever wondered why it is that people become hard-hearted? When they get to the point where they don't care if they hear the word of God, they're no longer edified by the word of God. What causes this? What causes it is a vacuum that needs to be filled that has been filled with something that is improper, and it causes the heart to harden. The mind comes to the point where it no longer feels that it needs the word of God. A sad, sad situation. Those in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, were warned against this. And we need to take heed also of allowing our hearts, our minds, to come hardened. You know, if our minds are not filled properly, hardness of the heart is inevitable. It will happen. He said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He also provides the formula whereby they can address that need. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Notice what causes hard hearts. The need to be filled with something. And then people search and they find something to fill it. And they think that they are satisfied, but they have actually turned against God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 29 will explain what the result of a hard heart is. When the heart is hardened, the possessor of that heart becomes the adversary of God. Not necessarily always rejecting the word of God, but resisting it. When they resist the word of God, they are standing in opposition to God. And the Hebrews were told, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If they went back under that old law, where there was no sacrifice for sins, sinning willfully, having received the knowledge of the truth, there is no more sacrifice for sins. But what is awaiting them? Verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. None want to be an adversary of God. God is all powerful. And if we don't fill our minds with the things of God, and that means the things in accordance to his word, rightly divided, properly applied, and included within our lives, and then we're liable to end up with hard hearts, then we also will look for a fearful time, the time of judgment, the time in which God, in his wrath, according to his promise, will devour the adversaries. It gives them an example from their own existence. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now, how much sore punishment suppose ye children of God, ye Christians, shall be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? Whenever we become hard-hearted and resist and reject the word of God, we are trodding underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. We counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy thing. We're doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. And how much more punishment should we receive? It's going to be a great, great punishment for those whose hearts are not filled properly. But how do we fill the heart with good? First and foremost, set apart in our minds that God is the ruler of our lives. Look to God. You know, it seems hard for people to do. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 tells us that it takes determination. It takes dedication. And that's where many people fall short. They are willing to obey the gospel. And many people who are very sincere obey the gospel. But if they lack the dedication, if they lack the discipline, the determination that comes with it, eventually, unless they are helped along, they're going to fill their heart with whatever is available. To fill the heart with good, we must make God the first in our lives, elevate Him to the proper place, and be able to answer others. We must fill our lives with God's Word. What happens when someone asks us a question from the Scriptures? What do we say? We might very well have to, at the moment, say, I need to look this up. I need to make sure that I'm certain in what I'm telling you. And I want you to sit down and read it with me. We don't have to blurt out an answer right then. I know sometimes the fear is, well, they'll think I don't know anything. You know what the smartest person is? The person who knows how much he does not know. Think about that. And the person who is willing to dig, to look. What are we told there? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts, in your minds. Make Him first. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How do you do that? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 provides for us the formula whereby we can be filled with good. We're either going to be filled with the things of God or the things of the world. And the Roman brethren were told, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is not unreasonable for God to expect those of us who have committed ourselves to Him to continually submit ourselves to Him. And lest anyone be confused, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, changed, altered by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing the mind by taking in and doing the Word of God. That's what fills our hearts as they should be. We need to be cautious as to what we consume. I opened this sermon talking about eating. I think we need to be careful about what we eat and how much we eat. I've been told, and rightfully so, I eat too much. But I like it. And so far, knock on wood, it hasn't hurt me. Oh, it's been costly. I've had to buy new clothes, stuff like that. But over a period of time, we need to consider, what is that we consume? How does it affect us? It can cause issues. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 directs us properly. The old adage is true. Garbage in, garbage out. It's true in every aspect of life. It's a lot of times applied to computer programming and stuff like that. Garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage in, that's all you can expect. But what about our bodies? What about our minds? What if we put garbage in our minds? What are we to expect? We need to fill our minds with the Word of God. And our heart will keep its attention on the right goal. Those brethren were told, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. And then he gives them the reason for this. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You have died to the love and practice of sin. Therefore, keep your mind pure, directed toward God. And then as you look down to verse 16, we'll see how to have our hearts properly filled. By the way, God's word cannot fill a heart nor dwell in anyone unless we put it in. By reading, by studying, by meditating upon the Word of God. I've heard people in prayer ask God for knowledge. Why, He's given us a book full of it. It's there. It's available. We got to pick it up and read it. How do we learn about how to repair a vehicle. How do we learn about any other thing? We have this lady that we know that no matter what it is, pretty much, she'll say, oh, I went to YouTube. I saw how to do it. Because she'd take on about any task. What did you do this weekend? Oh, I put all this rock down in my garden, and I saw how you have to put sand, and you tamp it down. And where did you learn all that? Oh, I went to YouTube. We look for instructions. We need to make sure that we put the right thing in our minds. We've got to put it in. The passage tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Notice the context here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of Christ is to teach you and admonish you. Therefore, we are to teach and admonish one another because we have the word of Christ in our minds. Only when the heart is filled with God's word can we admonish one another. And it just doesn't happen in worship service, but all through life. If our hearts are filled with the word of God. Even in Psalms 101 verses 3 through 4, the Spirit had the psalmist tell how one, even under the Old Testament law, could fill their mind as God would have them fill it. You know, God gave his people a law. He gave them a law specific to them. It was very specific that directed them how to worship him, how to serve him, how to live their lives to be pleasing to him. And that way is to separate themselves from evil. The psalmist was directed to write, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. You know, this is sometimes very difficult. Because within our own families, among our friends, among our business associates, there are wicked people. And when we say wicked people, a lot of times we think vile, those who participate in heinous crimes. What is wicked? Those who are against God, those who are not serving God, those who would influence us, who would fill our minds with something other than the Word of God, should we allow that to happen? But it can be done if you love God and if you fill your heart with the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, a very familiar passage, tells us what to think on. When we think on the right things, the heart will be filled with the proper things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And here's something to think about while we're talking about thinking. When the mind is filled with the proper things, there is no room for evil. We might also engage in good works. And you know, a lot of people focus a lot on engaging in good works. Nothing wrong with good works. But what are good works? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, if you'll turn there. And as we look up the passage, know that good works is not simply physical good deeds. Good works are those that are born from a spiritual mindset, a mindset whereby we can grow and mature and be filled with God's word and live according to it. If a person fills their mind with God's word, the good deeds that need to be done, that should be done, that are proper to be done, that will be beneficial to folks physically and spiritually, will follow. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye must grow thereby. Interesting. In nature and in spiritual things, birth must occur first, then growth. And if growth continues and continues properly, then maturity. It's a formula that has been since the very beginning. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, which incidentally is the whole psalm. It tells how humanity is to be filled with happiness. There's so many people today that have filled their minds with the wrong things. They're not happy. You can look at them and tell. Now, Linda and I are people watchers. Now, we don't sit around and just observe people for the sake of observing people. We just happen to see people, and they walk by you. They're in the grocery store, and sometimes people are pleasant. I noticed yesterday that people seem to be a little happy. We were out for something. Had to go to a store for an errand or something, but several people looked, they smiled. Hey, how are you? But not everybody. Some of them got up off the grouchy couch and came to town. Face all twisted up, scowling, and mad because there's too many people in the parking lot, mad because there's too many people in the store, because everything costs so much. They're not happy. But we can be happy. And it shows that all of our happiness is depending upon what we're filled with. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And notice this, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know what we're going to be filled with? We're going to be filled with what we think about. Because whatever it is we think about, that's what we're going to seek. The things that we seek, that's what's going to fill our minds. And those things which fill our minds are going to roll themselves out as actions. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. He's going to be firm and stable, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What will he be doing? He will be doing those things in which he meditates day and night. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Why? Because they have filled their minds with the Word of God. They live their lives according to the Word of God because they are filled with the Word of God. Another thing we have to be very careful of, and this is because of influence, is we have to choose our friends, our associations, very carefully. Many is a young man or young woman that has been influenced by quote-unquote friends and has led them down the wrong path. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 shows that we can be influenced negatively. It is possible. And you know that those who are friends, you say, well, surely they won't do anything to harm me. Surely they wouldn't do anything to cause me to have conflicting thoughts. If we are filled with negative, we will be corrupted. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Some of the translations say morals. Either one of them apply. Evil communications, evil association with those of improper filled minds will lead us the way that they go. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 shows that this is also part of the Old Testament law as well. This is not a new concept. It is not new in the law of Christ. It was taught under the law that God had with Israel. And the wise man was directed to write, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now we are asked the question, who is a wise man? It is one who fills his heart properly with the word of God, the things that God would have us do. Who is a fool? Those who refuse to do so. And now look at it. He that walk with wise men, those who fill their hearts properly, shall be wise. They also shall fill their hearts properly. But a companion of fools, those who join themselves or associate themselves or involve themselves with those who do not fill their minds properly, they too will find their minds being corrupted, their heart being corrupted and hardened, and they will deviate from the path to their own destruction. You know, we should all strive to be filled with the proper influence so we won't stray from the path. We need to prepare and then guard our hearts carefully. Once cleansed, we need to keep them clean. But first, one has to have their heart, their mind, their soul cleansed according to God's plan. It's a very simple plan, and the heart will be filled. Why not take what God has said and participate in it and cleanse your heart, and then that void, empty heart, fill it with the Word of God. Live a life that He would have us live. Live a life in preparation for spending eternity with Him. Live a life in preparation for helping others come to the same understanding. How do we do it? The plan is very simple. One must hear the Word of God. In John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, Jesus was very direct. He said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." We all look forward to being raised up with Christ to meet him in the air. But how does that happen? It is written in the prophets, "And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." You cannot come to God except through Christ, and you cannot come unless you have properly heard the Word of God. One must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in order to be pleasing to God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." If we desire to be rewarded of God, we will also gladly repent, turn away, empty ourselves of the things that are evil, put them behind us, turn away from them. In Luke 13:3-5, Jesus said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." One must also confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when Jesus asked his disciples this, he asked his apostles this, Simon Peter very quickly and boldly answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then one must be baptized into Christ. Sometimes people wait. You know what happens when you wait? The longer you wait, the more that void in that heart gets filled up with the wrong thing. What was Saul told? "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And then we must remain faithful. We read it earlier, but let's read 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 once again, showing that we must remain faithful. Keep our minds cleansed and filled with the Word of God. "For if they have, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." If one has once obeyed the gospel and then let sin reign in their lives, their heart is improperly filled. At that point, they have become an erring Christian. What to do? Repent and pray. You know, sometimes people need it brought to their attention. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25 shows the faithful Christian's responsibility, as well as what the erring Christian is to do. "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." And verse 26, the erring Christian's responsibility, "that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil." You know, all one can do is tell someone, you need to cleanse your heart once again and then begin to fill it properly. That person has to take the initiative, has to take the steps. A lot of times it's just a single step that needs to be made. Stepping out into the aisle. Or, if it's not a public sin that has separated between them and God, to go with a contrite heart. Repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God and perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Today you may be here with a heart that's bowed down with sorrow, having realized that you have allowed your heart to become filled with something other than wholesome things, other than the Word of God, and may have come to the realization that you separated between yourself and God. If you've not obeyed the gospel, you need to, because you're outside of Christ. If you have obeyed the gospel and allowed sin to reign in your life, or allowed unrepented sin to remain in your life, you're still separated from Christ. And it's time to come back in repentance and prayer. As we stand and we sing the selected hymn, if you're subject to the invitation, we ask you, won't you come? Let us stand and let us sing.